Hi, I'm Adrian Maidment, and this is the EV Quest podcast. And in this episode, I'm talking with Jay and Tom from Australian company WeVolt. Hello, Jay.
Hey,
hey Tom.
How are you,
Adrian?
Good to have you here from Australia.
It's good to be
nice
here.
Nice to be here. It's my first ever podcast experience.
I listen to a lot of podcasts,
but I've never been on one. So thank you. Now's your chance.
There's a chance to shine. Maybe we could just start maybe just a little bit about your company and the origins.
So, Adrian, WeVolt is an Australian tech company, and we specialize in development of EV charging and billing software. And it all started in March 2022 when I bought my first electric car. And within a matter of days, you know, I was really excited, like most EV drivers when they get their first EV car. But within a matter of days, like I had, I think, in excess of 7 different apps. And this was based on, you know, recommendations on Facebook groups and some of the research that I had done myself, just to charge my vehicle in public. So at this stage, I didn't have a charger at home, and I just wanted to make sure that I was aware of, if I did ever needed to charge in public, where would I go? And as I was having a chat with my friends, and they were all excited, and they were asking me about the EV car experience, and I shared with them, I said, look, the driving experience is brilliant. It's amazing. It's like nothing that you've done before, like especially the acceleration on electric cars. But the charging experience is something that I'm really concerned about. And that conversation then led to the idea of, you know, like having a platform where people can not only share their charges and monetize their charges, but also EV drivers can get real-time information on charges and the availability of charges, and if any charges are, you know, like are faulty. Because currently there are some apps out there that do that before WeVolt came to the market, but they rely heavily on the community keeping the information up to date. That's what sort of led to us, a group of friends. We bootstrapped the project in April of 2022, so a month after I had bought my car. We bootstrapped the project and we launched our product in May last year for beta testing, and the official Australia-wide launch was in July last year.
So, and what's the response been?
The response been amazing. Much more overwhelming than what we anticipated, because we are based in Perth, Western Australia, and initially we just wanted to test the software with a small group of users. But we were quite fortunate that within we hit our 2,000 active user mark in December last year. And our original plan was that we'll be very lucky if we can get 2,000, because a lot of our initial efforts were only limited to Western Australia, which obviously as a state is still lagging behind in terms of EV adoption compared to the eastern states. But since we opened up our software Australia-wide in July last year, like, we've seen exponential growth. We've got chargers all across Australia except in Northern Territory.
Yeah, you must be going quite fast, because there's a few people on your website in the staffing group, so must be going quite well.
Yes. So we've got our development team that works out of our office here in Perth, and we've got myself, Tom, who's also a co-founder, and Madden, who's also a co-founder and our full-time CTO. So we've got a sort of a small team on a mission.
Yeah,
I think, Adrian, what we realized is that there wasn't too many companies focusing solely on software in the Australian market, and a lot of charge point network operators were white labeling solutions out of Europe or America, and it didn't quite hit the mark for the Australian market. So we made a really conscious decision to employ all of our developers and have them based here locally. It allows us that sort of flexibility and responsiveness to make changes to the product. And yeah, so that's why you would see quite a few people on our employee list. I think it's been a great strength of ours, is that we are Australian born, bred, developed, managed, owned.
So what's the key points of the, I was interested about the, we got the app and everything, but that thing about you can get other people to use it and charge them out kind of thing. How
Yeah,
does that
so
work?
I think the best, well, for lack of a better term, we wanted to be the Airbnb of EV charging. So I know it's a term that gets flung around a fair bit, but essentially we wanted to, and it comes down to better utilization of chargers as well. We see a lot of chargers that are out there that maybe get used for 4 hours every 3 days, and the other times they're sitting there doing nothing, and everyone's focused on pumping out more charging infrastructure. And we just thought, well, the charging infrastructure is there. It's just not accessible to people when they need it. So, our platform is built around self-onboarding, and self-management. So basically, if you can onboard a home router, then you can onboard your charger to our platform. Takes about 5 minutes, and you can self-manage as well. One thing that sort of separates WeVolt, is that we have direct and instant payments that goes to the charge point owner. So the owner of the charging station doesn't have to provide energy at risk and get paid in a month or 3 months' time. Our payment system is forked, so as soon as the charging session has ended, they get paid direct, minus our little clip. So obviously, we need to make money, and we do that through transaction.
So basically, I can just drive in my car, look on the app, there's a dude down the road, I go charge there, kind of
Yeah, look, I think maybe if I give a couple of use cases. So there's a we have one customer over in Queensland. He lives opposite a TAFE, a school, and basically he's got a home charger. He's got solar as well. He went and had a chat to a couple of the EV drivers that park at the school, and he said, "Hey, do you want to use my charger?" And basically has put it on the WeVolt platform, and people come. Instead of parking at the school, they park across the street and they charge during the day. He makes a little bit of money because instead of feeding the power back into the grid, he can onsell it for a bit of profit. And the EV drivers are happy because they get to charge while the car's parked, while they're at work. The other interesting use case, and I think it's going to be something that we see a lot more of in the future, is multi-purpose charging. So we've installed a couple of chargers at a local business here in Perth. They're going to replicate it over in Queensland as well, where they want to offer charging to their employees. So between 9 and 4, the chargers are locked from public use, and their employees can charge. But then after that, they're near coffee shops, gym, a shopping center, and on weekends they open it up to the public and allow people to come in. They charge, I think, 45 cents a kilowatt hour. And people can just come and use the charger, while it's not in use from their employees. So I think it takes off the strain of the government having to fund additional public charging infrastructure.
It's a clever idea. How would you describe the current Australian charging network then? Just big
Fragmented.
picture. Fragmented?
In one word, fragmented, I would say, is probably the most apt word.
And I think
There's
the
a lot
other
of
word that,
states. Oh, sorry. Oh,
sorry, I
sorry.
was going to say the other word is unreliable, especially because there's a lot of first gen legacy hardware that's still out there, that has been installed without, like proper maintenance plans in place. So while the chargers are there, no one really knows who's responsible for maintaining them, making sure that they are working. Especially the fast charging network, the first generation, that can be quite unreliable and a bit of a pain point for EV drivers who are planning to take, trips out of the metro areas. It's work in progress. It's getting better as more and more, like through government programs and private sector is definitely stepping in and sort of seeing the opportunity, because some of these bigger businesses, they want to get the premium sites, the sites that have high traffic. So it's just a matter of time. It's a shame that we're a bit slow. It takes
What about in
time.
your state? In your state, 'cause usually you sort of hear more about New South Wales and Victoria.
Well, WA is an interesting case because obviously it's so big. and so sparse. And no disrespect to some of the country towns, but people don't necessarily want to be stopping every 5 hours to charge for 8 hours in a country town with 20 people. So I think with that we rely, and we've been very fortunate that the government has funded a lot of fast charging on the WAEB highway. We're very fortunate in that respect. And we see our product a better fit for suburban use case. We want to get into sort of every business. We believe that EV charging will be where people are, where pe it's not going to be a dedicated task that someone's going to drive to a petrol station and charge. The expectation of an EV driver will be to charge when they're at work, to charge when they're at the gym or at the swimming pool or at the golf course or something like that. And I think that's what we're going to start to see, and hopefully our product can enable that.
At destination charging, sort of idea. Yeah.
And just on that
Exactly.
destination charging, Adrian, so the WA state government, they've funded I think top of my head, it's just over $20 million. They've made an investment and they're setting up this skeleton network of fast chargers, and it's actually Australia's longest EV charging network, the WAEV network. And they're currently planning to install chargers, both fast and AC chargers across the regional WA, which is quite exciting. And a lot of those sites have been coming up, so I often see a lot of excitement and cheers within the Facebook, Tesla, and other EV groups. So we're getting there. As I said, it's just the problem is it's still going to be a skeleton network. Like it's not future proof. It's just basically the state government catching up to the current uptake of EVs.
Looks more positive. You know, Australia with the recent this month's sales of vehicles was quite good. New Zealand we've gone down a bit this month. Well, the last few months we've been going down, but Australia seems to be still on an upward trend for
Yeah,
the
it's a bit of
industry.
a mixed. It's hard to say what to make of it because there's some government subsidies that came in the last few years, and the government rethinking in eastern states. The Victorian government has sort of made changes to some of their incentives that
They
they
got
had in place.
nothing. They got nothing, isn't it? Basically nothing.
So
Yeah.
it's hard to say. It's surprising, but look, the demand is definitely there
Yeah.
for economic reasons. People are realizing that EVs, they have low maintenance, and especially for people who are doing longer commutes, economically it makes sense to own an EV when you work out the math. So
Yeah. Yeah. And what's your sort of got you've got a plan for what next few years?
we obviously, our current focus is, like we're establishing ourselves in Australia, but obviously New Zealand is definitely the obvious next sort of market that we want to expand into. We're already doing some work, and we're already working with our partners in Australia who have presence in New Zealand already. That's definitely an obvious one. And then, Asian markets is something that we are really keen on, and there's a few reasons for that. One, obviously, especially when you look at Indonesia and India, and these countries have a massive uptake of EVs, not cars, but there are a lot of other, like two-wheelers. And so the charging infrastructure in those countries is growing quite rapidly, and it's facing the same challenge as everywhere else. Like it's quite fragmented. There are a lot of different players that are setting up networks and then trying to like just capture the initial market. And we see ourselves with the current approach and the platform as a natural progression into these countries where we can bring those charges, sort of make them accessible through one app.
I guess, was there any challenges in getting to this stage? Any sort of key challenges?
Yes.
Or it all
Very
went
on
real smooth?
track. Look, the
Oh,
biggest challenge I
let
would
yours there you
say,
go.
yeah, the biggest challenge I would say is the business case. So, like currently, EV charging, especially the infrastructure providing EV charging infrastructure, it's not a very lucrative business. Setting up charges, the ROI isn't there. And hence, like a lot of private businesses are lobbying for government and public subsidy around EV charging infrastructure. Having said that, it's basically, but there's massive advantages for first movers in this space. Like if you can set up a network, charging, as Tom was saying, like people want charging everywhere. Like they want charging at shopping centers, people want charging, destination charging. So if you can, if a business can sort of capture those markets early on, that will give them a massive advantage in the long term. It's a bit of a balancing act as a business. Like how do you sort of survive until the big sort of demand comes in? And a lot of people, even like currently, they are charging at homes. And we know from like if you listen to the grid operators, they've been very clear about that they do not want people to be charging at homes because it puts a lot of strain on the grid. So if everyone's charging their EVs at night, it can be quite unmanageable for the grid operators. So, and especially in Australia, like where we get a lot of sun, the government policy is already sort of encouraging people to be installing chargers at workplaces to enable daytime charging rather than nighttime charging. So there are challenges for the sector. There are challenges at a policy level. And obviously there are challenges around consumer behavior, and there's a massive education. A lot of people we talk to, especially businesses, if we encourage them, we've currently got a state government's charge up grant where they're giving 50% towards charger and charger cost and the installation cost. And when we are talking to businesses, they straight away say, oh, how much is the fast charger? I want the fast charger. And then it's an education piece around it really depends on the use case, like a shopping center where they want to encourage, where they have a longer dwell time. You know, like you don't necessarily need all bays to have fast charging. You may have one or two to enable, you know, like those click and collect bays, and may have fast charging, but your regular bays can, AC charging is sufficient. The challenges are like at a different level. But as a business, we do all of these things. Like we spend a lot of time educating people around different use cases and what, and how to sort of bring them from what they want to what they actually need, and then explaining that what they need is not that much, keeping the future scalability in, you know, like as an option, and you don't have to install 10 charges on day one. Like you can start with 2 charges and then slowly scale up.
Was there any other key points you'd like to cover off about your business?
I just think sort of future plans. Sure. Obviously, we want to look to go into New Zealand. Our marketing manager is a Kiwi and has been pushing the case to break into the New Zealand market. So I think we will look to be doing that in the first sort of half of this year. So for your New Zealand listeners, keep an eye out for WeVault.
Okay.
Hopefully coming to a charger near you.
And we'll mention the website. Website looks good, actually. WeVault.com.au. I like the look of the website. Nice and clean.
Thank you. I'll take credit for that because I did absolutely nothing for it.
Looks good, the website.
So, it's hopefully it has all the information that people need. And look, if people do have questions, then you can hit us up. I'm assuming we can put an email address down on the link. Hello.
Yes, I'll put that, and you're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, yep. LinkedIn, and we'll put some details in the...
All the usual places you'll find us.
I'll say thank you, Tom and Jay. Thanks very much for your information, and I'll see you in New Zealand, I guess, soon.
Yeah, Adrian, thank you for having us, Adrian.